Welcome to Hello Somebody, a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartMedia, where we rage against the machine, where we raise our voices against injustice and stand up for justice, where we embrace hope and joy with an optimism for a brighter, more just future. Each week, I'll be dropping knowledge, whether it's a solo episode from me or a hearty discussion with esteemed guests doing great things in spaces and places of politics, entertainment, social justice, and beyond. We get real, baby. I mean, really real. We get honest. We get up close and personal for you. Yes, you. Because everybody is somebody. Before we begin, I want to give a special shout out to my team. Thank you, Sim, Tiffany, Sam, and the team over at Good Juju Studios, Erica England, Pepper Chambers, the hot one, and my social media team. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Just, I'm hoping that people have a happy Thanksgiving. I know it's been a hard going on 2 years now since COVID really started plaguing us, and we're trying to get back to some kind of normal, even though, hell, normal doesn't sound too good depending on what your circumstances were before the pandemic, but trying to get to some type of stasis, and it has been so extraordinarily hard. So it is good to be able to pause for a minute, and Thanksgiving certainly gives us the opportunity to do that. So I am wishing you a very happy Thanksgiving. This is from me and also the Hello Somebody team. And we are just so overjoyed and honored to still be with you going into our second year. Our listeners, our supporters, what a blessing it is to be able to communicate in this way. And it is my sincere hope that this Thanksgiving is a time of reflection and also a time of gratitude for you and yours. Now, most of you know that I am a spiritual woman. You know, I often joke that my mother made my siblings and I go to church 8 days a week. And indeed, she did that. You could not do anything in my mama's house, baby, without going to church. That was the thing. And certainly growing up, I thought it was overkill. Hello, somebody. But over the years, certainly I've been able to draw from the reserves of my Black church teaching and most of those teachings, and being able to understand a lot more some of the things that I didn't understand and things that I don't agree with. I just don't agree with them. You know, just being able to discern and have a relationship with God for myself. But I am definitely a believer. And part of my belief is to give thanks, to be hopeful, to have faith, and to give thanks. And I'm practicing. You know, I am a Christian in practice. You know how doctors can practice on us? Did y'all catch that? Practicing physician, always. I'm a practicing Christian, meaning I'm aiming to do the best that I can every single day. You know, I'm aiming to be a great person, a great mother, a great advocate. But, you know, some days you fall below the mark. Hey, all of us fall below the mark at times. And even when we make strong attempts and we try to overcome the pressures in our life, be they personal or professional, be they some habit we have that we're trying to break. And we all know right now between Thanksgiving and New Year's, we are going to eat a lot, regret a little bit, and then talk about one of our New Year's resolutions being exercise more and lose the pounds we put on, right? You go through that. Some of us go through that every single time, right? We're practicing dieters. And I use the word diet, no, practicing to change our habits, because this has to be bigger than a one-time diet. Or we're practicing in our workouts, meaning every time we want to get better and better and better. So, yeah, we always have something to overcome, from small things to things that are huge we're trying to overcome. And some of us are, you know, we're on the search. We're searchers. We are. Life forever is a journey. You're in search of something all the time. And so hope and grace is one of those things. And so I want to talk to you about my grandmother's three bones. And it is certainly something I've carried with me. My maternal grandmother is the one that told me this story as I was growing up. And I have just clung to that story so much so it has become a staple in a lot of my speeches. Some of you have heard my speeches across the country. And I usually almost always end them with the three bones. And I got to tell you, no matter how often I use the three bones, people never get tired of them. I am always amazed. And sometimes in my speeches, when I don't tell the three bones story, people will come up to me after and say, "You didn't tell the three bones." So I definitely make sure that more times than not that I tell the story. So we are going to start a three bones series where from time to time throughout the Hello Somebody production, I will take one of the bones and focus in on that bone. And I'm looking forward to doing this. I'm actually smiling from ear to ear. And so for those of you who are new, the first time listeners or people who just kind of happened to find me and you didn't know about me before, I want to thank you and welcome you to the Hello Somebody podcast. So let me just go ahead and tell the three bones story as if I'm telling it for the first time. And today we are going to focus on hope, on the wishbone. So the three bones. I was a very inquisitive child. My dad tells me that I would always ask a lot of questions, and that makes a lot of sense now looking back on that time. And my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, was my favorite grandmother. She was the one I was the closest to. And I'm sure many of you, or hopefully some of you can relate to me that you have that one relative. And if you're blessed beyond that, maybe you got a couple of relatives that you are really, really close to. But I spent a lot of time with my grandmother. My grandmother was certainly the matriarch. She was the rock. Both my grandparents loved them to death, but I had the strongest relationship with my grandmother. And I would always ask her questions, you know, what does it take to be successful? Or sometimes I would complain and say, "I can't wait. I cannot wait until I'm grown." Can somebody relate to that? Lord have mercy. If I can go back in time knowing what I know now, if Sister Turner could get a do-over, baby, I would do it. But the prerequisite for that is I must go back knowing what I know now. You think I'm setting the world ablaze at this moment? Watch out now if I came back with this kind of knowledge. But I remember my grandmother saying, "Nope, you don't want to rush being grown." She would say, "You have a long time to be grown and a little while to be a child." Hello, somebody. You talking about relating to that? A long time to be grown and a little while to be a child. It was that mother wit. You know, my grandmother was born in 1915 and she only had a third grade education. She couldn't read or write. I often joke, though, is she could count her money, baby. That the most important thing she could do. She could count her money. She could sign her name. And she was just spectacular, even though she didn't have a formal education. But you could not outthink my grandmother. You just couldn't do it. And so that mother wit is a saying, a tradition that we have in the African-American community. And it really just means wisdom and she was quick on her feet, quick-witted, just the type of intelligence that you cannot gain from sitting in anyone's classroom. So the three bones is part of that mother wit tradition. And when I asked my grandmother the question about being successful in life, and she said, "My dear granddaughter, all you need are the three bones, the wishbone, the jawbone, and the backbone." The wishbone, she explained, was for hoping and praying. Hope is the motivator, but the dream is the driver. The jawbone will give you courage to lift your voice, to speak truth
to power. But the most important bone of them all, the super fragile, catalytic, expialidocious bone, is the backbone. Because the backbone will keep you standing through all of your trials and your tribulations. And in this life, you're going to go through some stuff, but you can't have a testimony without a test. You know, and just over the years, I perfected that, and that just kind of rested with me, and I would pull it out whenever I needed it, and I've needed it so often in my life. And then I started incorporating it into my speeches. It's almost like a good song. You know, music is a universal language, and the three bones story has come to be a universal language. People from all walks of life enjoy it. And, you know, going back to the backbone just for one moment, you can't have a testimony without a test. And, you know, I added to that, that we are all being tested to determine whether we have the courage enough, the conviction enough, the gumption enough, right, to do what is right in our own time. And so I just kept adding, layering on to the very strong foundation of the three bones. So in summary, as any good professor would do, the wishbone, hope, prayer, hoping, praying, the jawbone, courage to speak truth, and the backbone, tenacity, perseverance. That's it in summary. So today we are going to focus in on the wishbone. It seems very appropriate during this season to focus on the wishbone. So you all know that I am a quote machine. And so I have some quotes that I want to layer on the wishbone, the hoping and the praying. And one is, hard knocks can lead to high hopes. That's a motherhood saying. And the next one of my favorites, it always seems impossible until it is done. That was said by the late, great, first Black African president of South Africa, the one and only Nelson Mandela. And then my grandmother, the foundation to the bones. Hope is the motivator, but the dream is the driver. So as you are reflecting and hopefully giving thanks during this season of your life, and this particular holiday kind of forces you to reflect, what are you hopeful for? You know, what are the things, despite some of your trials and tribulations, and we all have them in every season of our lives, and sometimes those trials and tribulations are harder than others, but what in this moment, despite whatever life may be throwing at you, what can you be hopeful for right now? What are you hopeful for? Is it family? Is it friends? Is it overcoming a circumstance? Is it a great burgeoning opportunity that is on the horizon? What are you hopeful for? Man, you know, I'm hopeful for my health. I'm hopeful for being clothed in my right mind. I'm hopeful for opportunities, all of the opportunities that I've had, even the ones where I might not have been as victorious as I wanted to be. The fact that I was able to participate, to be engaged in, gives me great hope. And then, you know, the dream being the driver. You know, the things that you aspire to have, whether it's opening a business or getting a promotion on a job that you already have, whether it's creating other opportunities for yourself and other people. What are your dreams? The dream could be, hell, let me make it through the week. Let me schedule that mani, that pedi. Hello? Let me schedule that spa day. I dream of a time that my children are self-sufficient and independent. Maybe them going to college is part of your dream. What do you dream? What are your dreams for yourself? And then also for others. You know, you can tell I'm a mama and a new Yaya grandmother, because, you know, we always, almost always put our loved ones in that hope and that dream, whatever we're hoping for and dreaming for, does usually include our family. You know, I'm just thinking about my grandmother too, who's no longer here, and some of her hopes and dreams. Other things she would say to me growing up is, you know, get a good education. I want you to get a good education. And she only had that third grade education, but that did not stop her from wanting more for her grandchildren. That was her hope. That hope was her motivator. And she never stopped encouraging us to do better than what she was able to do. Another story from my grandmother, one of her younger sisters, my dear aunt Phoebe, who just passed away last year. Oh my God, loved her to death. She was my last living relative of my grandmother's generation. I'm sure some of you listening can relate. And she would tell me, my aunt Phoebe would tell stories about my grandmother, about, you know, how my grandmother never wanted my aunt Phoebe to have to clean. She wanted my aunt Phoebe to finish high school. And finishing high school, you know, was a really big deal for a certain generation of people, particularly African Americans. And my aunt Phoebe had taken a job doing some cleaning, and my grandmother found out about it. And according to my aunt Phoebe, my grandmother went and snatched her out of there and said, "I'm cleaning so you don't have to." Wow. I'm cleaning. Well, my grandma would say, I'm cleaning so you don't have to. Hello, somebody on that. Am I talking to anybody? And it doesn't have to be my grandmother's generation. A lot of us are doing things so that others in our family line don't have to. But how touching was that? Oh my God. I mean, my grandmother was certainly a giant to me in so many ways. I mean, she was about 5'2", 5'3". But when she walked in the room, you thought a giant, because she owned that room, baby. When she came in there, she owned that room. And she was also of that generation, you know, being born in 1915 and navigating the world in the 1920s and 30s and 40s. Oh my God, my girl, you know, she would wear those finger waves. She had this long hair, and long fingernails. I didn't get them strong fingernails. And God knows I chopped my hair off all the time. But it was just looking at the pictures of her and my grandfather and their siblings. I mean, baby, they were dressed to the nines. Listen, they don't make them like that no more. They just don't. But I'm sorry, I digress. I am definitely going down memory lane. You know, I'm chuckling because my son always says this time of year, I pull out the old fashions. Now I can look through my phone. But in the olden days, we just had regular Polaroid pictures. Can I get a hello, somebody, amen, from somebody? Can I get a spiritual amen or anybody, from anybody who can relate to that? But, you know, we had photo albums in the olden days. And every year around this time, from Thanksgiving all the way to New Year's, I will go hunting for those damn photo albums and pull them out and just flash through the pages looking at my relatives, my grandmother, my mother. My mother is no longer here either. So if you are new to the show, you may not know that story of mine, of the fact that my mother died at a very young age. She was 42 years old, and she definitely died with her dreams deferred. Langston Hughes, he asked a very important question in one of his famous poems: what happens to a dream deferred? And, you know, my mother's death, even though it's been, you know, going on 30 years now, it still haunts me so, so much. I always wonder what my mother would be thinking about what's going on today. And when I think about that wishbone, one of my hopes and dreams was to be able to make my mother proud, even in her death, even though she died. And I do believe, because of my upbringing and my religious tradition, that there is another world, another side. And so spiritually, I believe that my mom is with me, and just carrying that that essence of her around when I was trying to navigate, right? Wishing and hoping, hoping. Hope is the motivator, but the dream is the driver. My dream was to finish college, to get through college, to become a first generation college graduate, to make my mom proud. I always say I wanted to do that to make her proud, even in her death when she was not able to. She didn't live long enough to see me accomplish some pretty amazing things. But the deeper I think about it, I was doing it for her, but I was doing it for myself, and I was doing it for my son. So think about that. The things that we do in life that have the greatest meaning, we're not just doing that for ourselves. And so there is a connection, a continuum, if you will, between the past, the present, and the future. They cannot be separated. So whether it's you earning a degree or learning a trade, a new skill, or opening a business, or aspiring to get a promotion, or to kick a habit, you know, you may be a smoker and you're trying to stop smoking, or somebody that sits, that doesn't work out as much, and you're saying, listen, I'm going to add some extra days every week to my workout to create and maintain optimal health. It could be something as simple as, I need to drink more damn water. That's it. Hope is the motivator, but the dream is the driver. And sometimes the dream is simple. And then sometimes it is complex. Sometimes what you are hoping for is simple. I just want to make it through the damn day. And sometimes it's complex. I hope to have X number of dollars in my bank account by X date. You know, it could be any of those things. All of that, though, if you think about it very deeply, is connected to the past. You're dealing with the present, and it's also connected to the future. So yes, hope is the motivator and the dream is the driver. And even though, you know, when my mom died, I was a sophomore at Cuyahoga Community College. That is the largest community college in Ohio. It is in Cleveland. Cleveland main campus is in Cleveland. It has several campuses now between the corporate college that we have now attached to Cuyahoga Community College and what I would call the academic campuses. It has grown so much. I believe that college opened in the 60s, and it has been a beacon, a light for this community ever since. And it is where I got my start. I started at a community college, and my mother died when I was a sophomore. And I'm saying, I am having a fucking, excuse me. Lord have mercy. Let me go on back that. I'm having a WTF moment. Before WTF was a thing, it's always been a thing, but just saying the initials. And I didn't know how I was going to make it. I did not know what I was going to do. Oldest of seven children, a sophomore. You talking about working class? I mean, I come from a working poor family. I was among the working poor myself. Let's not even pretend. And I just didn't know how I was going to make it. And so my hope was, I gotta get this degree. I gotta get this degree for my mama. I gotta get this degree for myself. And I gotta get this degree for my son and for my family. You know, I wanted to be an example to my seven siblings, of which, yeah, I'm the oldest child. That was my hope and the dream of accomplishing that. That was my driver, baby. That was it. Hope is the motivator, but the dream is the driver. And I did accomplish that. Got that associate's degree from Cuyahoga Community College. And was blessed to have a professor in my life. I had several professors who were what I would call my light. You know, they lit my path. We always need a light. They were my beacons. Dr. Dorothy Salem, more than anybody. She was pretty much my surrogate mom. When my mom died, I had such a strong relationship with her. And the way I met her is that I had signed up to take a black history class, and I walk in the classroom and there's this white woman with blonde hair standing in front of the class, and I'm looking at my schedule and I'm looking at her. Look at my schedule. Look at her. Look at my schedule. Look at her. Look at my damn schedule. Look at her. And I am saying, white people can't teach black history. I must be in the wrong class. How wrong? Jesus, I'm tickled. How wrong was I? Dr. Dorothy Salem not only taught Black History, baby, she embodied it. She did. And she has a PhD in Black History. She is the one that lit the flame under me to help me to know and to understand that Black history is America's history, and America wouldn't be America, baby, without Black history. She centered Black history. It wasn't an afterthought. It was the thing. Hello, it was the thing. And it is because of her, because I was toggling between majoring in history or sociology. And I ended up just, you know, choosing history. And it was because of her that my specialization, as I matriculated from Cuyahoga Community College to Cleveland State University, my concentration is in Black history, and it is because of her. Oh my God, Dr. Dorothy Salem really changed my life, and she helped change the lives of so many of her students. Yeah, she is that one. She really is, and I love her so very, very much. And just to be, I mean, it was, just going back to how crucial that time was in my life. And have you ever had moments in your life where you thought, I don't know how I'm gonna make it. I don't know how I am going to do this, from something, again, something great to something small. That's life. But hope is, it is the motivator. And the dream is the driver. Hope is the force that keeps us going. And even in my sorrow, and so far in life, I have not had a pain as hurtful as that. And we're never ready to lose our parents, especially if we had a strong relationship with them. So if there's anybody out there who can relate, just go ahead and say amen. I say hello, somebody. I will be able to feel the vibe. I will. Those of us who are in the Lost My Mama Club, or Lost My Daddy Club, it's a painful, it's very painful. And it's especially so if they're young, but we're never ready, no matter how old we are, no matter how old our parents are blessed to become, never ready for them to leave, especially if we had a great relationship. Now I get it, some people's mamas and daddies ain't, you know, some relationships ain't there, and I get that too, I got it. But for me and mine, it was, you know, losing my mama was a traumatic experience. Didn't know I was going to make it, but I did. And I didn't make it on my own. And that's pretty much the foundational point of it all. Did not make it on my own. The Dr. Salems of the world, the bus driver, because sister was on the bus, didn't have a vehicle. You know, on a moped, my husband had a moped. We had a moped, breaking all kinds of laws. And where I live was so far from the bus stop. And I remember getting on that moped, riding it up to the bus stop. Me and my husband and my son, Lord have mercy, thank God for God. Because Lord, have we been stopped? It was, but just trying to make it. Like, you do those things to make it. Hello? And going to that bus stop and getting on that bus and going down to Cuyahoga Community College, downtown Cleveland, and they had a daycare center at the college, which was a lifesaver, because as a mom, you want to know, as parents, you want to know that your children are safe while you're trying to work on changing their lives. And to be able to drop my son off downstairs at the daycare and be able to go upstairs and around the campus to take classes, to be able to peek in on him, that in and of itself was a blessing. So what things have happened in your life that when you look back on them, it gives you a warm feeling? It gives you great comfort. It makes you smile because you got through it. Hope is the motivator. But the dream, oh my God, is the driver. And so, yeah, got that associate's degree. Matriculated over to Cleveland State University, got that bachelor's degree, got that master's degree, walking across those stages, taking every degree in my mama's name and in my son's name and doing it for myself. And I ain't do one of them two steps across the stage for what I see, especially Black people. Lord, ain't nobody like us. But when I see, because mainly African-American folks, we do that thing. When people do that two step or that three step across the stage, I get it.
You know, it's once upon a time I'm looking at folks like, why the hell are they doing that? This is a ceremony. It is a solemn event. It is, you know, you sometimes you get like that in life. You know, you get above it all. Don't get too big. Don't be an educated fool. My grandmother would say that too. But I have since evolved from my thinking of that. And I totally get why somebody wants to do a two-step, a three-step, baby, do the whole damn dance. Because you don't know what they had to do to make it across that stage, whether it's the high school stage or the college stage or trade school stage, whatever, that ceremony, when you would just want to cut a step or two. I totally, totally understand. So I didn't cut no steps. But baby, I was celebrating in my heart. How I Got Over. There's a song in the African-American church tradition. I will not sing it because if I break out a song, you won't love me as much. Everybody got a skill. Everybody got a talent. Singing is not one of mine. And I understand that. I'm all right with it. How I Got Over. My soul looks back and wonders how I got over. Baby, if you have not heard that song, you need to hear. We will put a link in the notes because I want you to hear that song. It will make you want to cut a step. How I Got Over. My soul looks back and wonders how I got over. And we got a lot, many more miles to go, don't we? Yeah, we, you, me, us. Many more miles to go. So I also recognize that during this season, some people get more depressed, especially as we embark upon Christmas and getting into the new year because of circumstances. It might be personal circumstances due to love or lack of love. It could be economic, whatever. It's all personal, hell, when it comes down to it. I want to encourage you to be lifted, to do a new thing this year if you can. Create a vision board. Yeah, I'm going to do a show about vision boards. How about that? Yeah, before the new year, I will do a show about vision boards when we do the wishbone again. Yeah, that's great. Thank y'all. Y'all gave me that idea. But I want you to be encouraged and to be lifted and to reflect. And even if in this particular damn moment, you are not where you want to be, you can change that. Every single day that you get up, you can change your circumstances. So I want you to be encouraged and be of good cheer. What is true today does not have to be true tomorrow in any aspect of your life. So give thanks. And if you need to do a new thing, do the new thing. And that change is not going to happen overnight. But every single day you can walk. Sometimes you got to crawl, walk, run towards the prize, towards the high mark. On the wishbone, the jawbone, and the back. I want you to take my grandma's bones with you everywhere that you go. And when you are having those moments, pull from that reservoir, baby. It's going to be all right. It will ultimately be all right. But you got to make it that way. See, that's the part folks don't tell us. It's going to be all right. But being all right usually requires an action step to make it so. So I want you to make it so. Happy, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I'm sending you love, so much love. Keep the faith, and baby, keep the fight. Hello, somebody. Hello Somebody is a production of iHeartRadio and the Black Effect Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.